The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Coming to you live from the city that spawned the band Tesla, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana Dean. Now, with a head-banging song in his heart, here's Nate.
Taking me back to the late 80s.
Is that when you were a headbanger, Nate?
Yeah, well, that's when everybody was.
I was such a headbanger in the 80s.
That's when I saw Tesla. Saw Tesla open for Poison in Portland, Maine.
Wow.
You know who was my favorite band in the 80s? Guns N' Roses. But actually, it was a tie with Led Zeppelin.
I think mine was Men at Work, but I wasn't really into music.
To be fair, Led Zeppelin was not a band in the 80s.
In the 80s, I was trying really hard to get my mom to take me to the Debbie Gibson concert. And she wouldn't. It was October 25th, 1989.
Aww.
A day that will live in infamy.
Yep.
Led Zeppelin is always a band.
That was her favorite in the 80s.
But they were not active in the 80s.
But they were her favorite band in the 80s.
Well, they were a band in the 80s.
And they were her favorite.
That's like saying the Beatles are a band now. They're
no,
not.
It's not. It's like saying my favorite band in the 80s was the Beatles. This is such a semantic.
Anyone can say my favorite
band. Let's have a semantic argument.
Yes, for the entire show.
Ooh. Semantic corner.
All right.
Down on the corner, out in the street.
Well, coming up today, we got a lot to get to. I'm not going to promise anything because we have a lot to talk about, I don't want to. We're going to probably not going to get to everything. So,
no promises, people.
Let's start out with
you people.
The Super Bowl.
Oh, that totally happened.
We all watched it. I bet Christiana was super happy.
Ah,
I was happy, but the game wasn't super interesting.
No, it wasn't.
It was pathetic and sad.
Although I am excited because I don't know if I mentioned this on the show previously or not, but I have a good friend of mine who I've been friends with since junior high, and we've bet on the Super Bowl every year since like 1992.
Ooh.
And usually it was like, you know, $3 or, and then it got into beer. And
ooh,
this year's bet was the loser has to display a picture of the winner's child in a place of prominence in the household until the next Super Bowl.
Oh. Aww.
And post a picture on Facebook proving that it is in that place.
That's what the loser has to do. Puts a picture of your child up in her house.
Of the other person's child.
So you have
I put a picture of his son up in my house.
Oh.
Or no, he'll put a picture of my daughter up.
Ha, what a loser.
Like halfway through the game, he just sent me a picture of his mantle. He's like, ready.
Aww.
But I'm not sure which picture to send. Do you send like a cute one? Or I'm thinking the screaming, crying Santa Claus. Like, it should be
a
kind of a gnarly picture, right?
Well, here's what I'm thinking. Do you have, I'm sure you do, a picture of her with like kind of a pissed off face. Not crying.
Most of her pictures. Pictures for the first like 14 months of her life were like that.
I would,
it should be kind of like sour, like a conversation starter, right?
Yeah, aww, like one of those like, who are you and why are you looking at me? Mm-hmm. Sort of pictures.
And
why'd
you pick such a crappy team?
Plenty
for
of those.
The Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, her face should be like Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't even think the Broncos, neither one of these teams were like our teams necessarily. So, but it's just a, you know. It's just a thing.
I made the mistake of kind of arbitrarily saying, oh, I want the Denver Broncos to win this game. And then once you pick a team that's really being beaten, it's not a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
Why did I pick a team arbitrarily?
I was actually baffled because usually, okay, I watch one football game the whole year. It's the Super Bowl. And I show up and I sit down in front of the snack food and I ask, who are we rooting for? And everyone in the room tells me the same thing. And then I, you know, that's what makes the game interesting. I try to manifest it through, you know, I watch the game and I try to control everybody with my mind so that my friends and family get the outcome that they want. That's how I watch football. So I walked in yesterday, sit down in front of the vegan snackadium that my mother made, which was incredible. It was an entire stadium of refreshments, all
awesome,
of which were vegan. And there was a little guacamole football field and little bread goalposts and little spectator
vegetables,
like,
right?
Vegetables. And she made vegan pigs in a blanket, which was incredible.
Yum.
Never had them before.
They're really good.
So anyway, snackadium, I got diverted. And I sit down and I say, who are we rooting for? And half the room goes the Broncos. The other half goes the Seahawks. And I'm like, what now? And, you know, my parents and my grandmother were rooting for Seattle. My boyfriend was rooting for the Broncos, as were most of the people at the party. And I did not know whose loyalties to go with. And Ted said, well, it's really easy. Who do you love more? and I so basically I didn't choose, and I just sort of watched the game not having an opinion, and that made it really boring.
Mm. Well, to be fair, the game was really boring anyway. Yeah. Although I kind of was hoping for Seattle to win and more for Denver to lose. So when the game started with the first snap going over Peyton Manning's head,
what happened? Oh,
for a safety, every time the Broncos screwed up, I laughed like a maniac.
Oh.
It was a lot of pointing and laughing.
All right.
Where did you watch, Nate?
Right here.
Oh, you were right here?
I was right here, in this exact spot that I'm sitting right now.
Wow.
Ah, nice.
You must have been laughing a lot.
There was a lot of laughter.
At least you didn't do a shot. You would have been so drunk.
No, I was drinking Saturday, went to San Francisco, and then ended up, and I'll tell this story on the next show, but ended up at Russian River Brewing in Santa Rosa and got a growler of their Damnation beer. To have during the Super Bowl, which was fantastic.
Now, how much is in a growler?
2 liters.
2 liters.
Depends on the growler, because I get those
does.
Annoying, crappy, tiny growlers.
Well, they've got growlers.
It should just be more of like a grr, well, not called a full growler.
Well, growlers are either 2 liters or 2 quarts normally.
Oh, as long as it's 2 something.
Like, I have one from Track 7 Brewing up there that you can see. They call it a growlette. That's 32 ounces
yeah,
of beer.
Yeah, that's what I have.
Which is nice, because if you want to go, like if I want to stop off at Track 7 after work and pick up just something to go, that's about 2 nice big glasses of beer, which is perfect. As opposed to, if you get a growler, you either need someone to drink it with, or you need to get yourself ready for a big night.
Yeah.
Because some of them will last a little bit longer. Now, to be fair, the Russian River growler has the ceramic top with the rubber stopper. That's going to last longer than the other growler that I have, which is from Pyramid, which is dead to me.
Because it's dead to everybody in this town.
It is in this town, and that just has a plastic screw cap. But the nice thing, and I will mention this, free plug, for another local brewer, New Helvetia on Broadway, now has this thing you can bring in a growler from any brewer, and they 64 ounces only right now because that's what they can fit under their taps. they will fill a growler from any other brewer, which is kind of a cool thing. It's smart, too, because if you're like, well, I've got these growlers, I don't want like a growler for every brewery that I go to.
Right.
And so what they do, what it looks like they're doing is putting a big sticker on your growler that says New Helvetia.
Oh.
And I'm down with that because Pyramid can eat me.
Okay.
All right. Suck it, Pyramid.
Yeah.
That reminds me that I forgot to give Rob my San Pedro Brewing Company growler to have refilled.
Oh, no.
He is on his way right now. As we tape this, to Southern California to go to Disneyland.
Turn around, Rob.
With my kid.
Oh, he forgot you.
I'm going to work. Yeah.
Well, you can pay.
I get kind of a raw deal out of this.
Well, you get to earn the bucks.
Think of it as a mini vacation.
Oh, I do.
Uh-huh.
I do.
From them.
But we have other friends who are going this week, and I was like, oh, we probably can't go. And then over the weekend, I was like, well, wait a minute. You guys can go. And we still had an entry left from the passes that we used in December. And I was like, well, there's literally no reason I can think of other than you got to drive on your own. So,
well,
there they go. Have fun.
One person who's very, very happy about the Super Bowl outcome is Tim Connors. That's because he tattooed the team's logo along with Super Bowl 48 champs on his arm back in August.
Why would you do that?
To manifest the win. That guy is serious.
He's serious.
He said on Friday, I don't want to say they have it in the bag, but I'm pretty confident.
Yeah.
And people were laughing at him. But he got it at Good Karma Body Art in Edmonds, Washington. So obviously that was working for him. so that worked out. The funny thing was, and this didn't get that much run, but apparently there was also a Broncos fan who has a tattoo that he now needs a cover up for.
That's sad. Aww.
It'll say Wino forever.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think basically what he has to do is he has to move to a small village in South America or Africa where people don't know what the Super Bowl is, and he will match all of the T-shirts that say Denver Broncos Super Bowl 48 champions that get sent over there. Because they have to make up T-shirts for both teams.
Right.
Right.
And you go, what do they do with them? Well,
burn them, don't
no,
they?
No.
They send them overseas.
They send them overseas.
I thought they weren't allowed to do that.
Nope. They send them overseas to either Africa or places in South America into these really poor villages because they've got them all made. And they're like, oh, well, here you go.
Hell, they don't charge
them. Give
them
credit if they actually do that instead of just destroying them.
People in Africa think the Bills are amazing.
Ah.
4 straight Super Bowls. So anyway, he's confident. So good for him. They apparently set some fires in Seattle, which happens.
That's how you celebrate. You burn things.
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes.
How they celebrate witchcraft.
It wouldn't work in Seattle because of the rain. So well, I don't think they even tried.
It's not going to. Well, they did burn things. Some stuff. There were fires set. They did not get off unscathed. It wasn't terrible, but it's just little fires here and there. So let me take a quick look. Oh, the Seahawks finally made it home. They got delayed on their plane flight back home.
Joyzy.
Let me see if they have any stories on Q13 Fox. Shooting, small damages reported in post game celebration. So just a couple minor things.
In a polite Northwestern sort of way.
Yeah, they can learn a lot from the Northeast. just destroy our city in celebration.
Shortly after midnight, police came in to Pioneer Square in downtown Seattle in riot gear and horses because there were a few rowdy fans who caused some damage, but nothing major. So nothing big deal. The Seattle Times reported two people were shot Sunday night, but it was unclear if the shootings were connected to the post-game celebration. So
or pot. One of those two things.
Could have been. One of them should be banned. I don't know which. Football or pot. So congratulations, Seattle. Denver, you had a good season. You'll be back next year. It'll be fine.
I like, and I feel like we have, I'm trying to remember what other sport we had this story with before, but I noticed on Facebook somebody posted this collection of headlines and stuff that the Super Bowl win can end Seattle's 35-year title drought. Last, you know, Supersonics win was 1979, NBA Finals, whatever.
Yeah.
And yet their WNBA team has won several times in the last decade.
The key is major sport. Sport. And they don't count the WNBA, and they also don't count Major League Soccer, which is played by men. So settle down.
Well, but that doesn't make me like happy. They should count both of them.
Yeah.
No.
Doesn't make me happier. Well, but what was it? Because we talked about this. There was like another sport. It was like, actually, if you don't count the women, where people were making a big deal about. Oh, shit. I can't remember.
I don't know.
Some listener.
So it was obviously
send
important.
Us an email and let us know.
It was obviously
well,
important.
Well, I get outraged so frequently. I don't know why I'm expected to
well,
keep
we
it
had
straight.
The same thing in Sacramento when we had the Monarchs. You know, they were a champion team.
Right.
And, you know, they got sacrificed to keep the Kings afloat, you know.
No, they didn't get sacrificed to keep the Kings afloat. Let's be clear on this. WNBA teams don't make money in most cities. Seattle is the one exception. They survive without an NBA team to support them. The WNBA teams are supported off of revenues from the NBA teams. They're usually in conjunction with each other. Now, the Kings, not a super successful franchise, and the Monarchs, also not. Off the court, not a super successful franchise. They did well on the court. They decided that they didn't have the funds to support a WNBA team. And the team was offered to San Francisco, where they could be associated with the Warriors, who are in Oakland right now, and they didn't want them. So it's not that simple. It's like, okay, well, we can't support them here. What about the Bay Area? Would you like a WNBA team? And they went, no.
Well, that's sad because they were champions multiple years. And it's like you can be the best female basketball players in America and there's no place
it doesn't
pay
count.
For you to
that's
play.
Not what we meant. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you must make this many millions to count as a athlete.
I think this many people need to care for you to be counted as a major sport, they're saying.
And it was Andy Murray. That's who we talked about because it was all the newspapers saying first like Brit in ad nauseum years.
Oh,
when it was like,
right.
I guess the chicks don't count.
Were you watching in WNBA when it was in town, Christiana?
I did go to a Monarchs game when I was in town. I did not necessarily watch more WNBA than I do NBA.
Right. Yeah, I don't watch any basketball.
But but that doesn't mean that it doesn't count.
Oh,
like,
no,
stats wise.
I'm not saying it doesn't count.
No,
I'm just
cutting this guy off.
No,
not you. Just preemptive.
I'm making the point that they don't count Major League Soccer as a major team sport either.
Right, which is lame.
But so, and that has nothing to do with gender. It just has to do with the popularity of said sport. And in Seattle, Major League Soccer is huge, as it is in Portland and a few other cities. It's just not counted as a major sport, as are NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, and
golf,
and barely hockey,
tennis.
And
maybe we should
hockey.
Talk about the most important part of Sunday, which was how great was Bruno Mars, right?
Oh my gosh,
love
he was
that guy.
Really. really good.
He's adorable.
I loved his dancing, and I loved their little gold sports jackets.
Everything about it was
great.
And
I loved that it was appropriate for all ages and awesome. And then all of a sudden, the Red Hot Chili Peppers came out of nowhere with no shirts on, and that was a little weird for a minute. And I was like, what happened to Bruno Mars? Like, he's just sort of pushed to the side, but then he came back and, like,
and it was okay
closed
again.
It all perfect. Yeah.
I know.
What do you think of it, Nate?
I don't have anything bad to say about Bruno Mars.
Aww,
I don't have anything
sweet.
Good to say about Bruno Mars. He's just sort
he's
of
so likable. I'm like terrified for the day that there's like a drug thing or a scandal or whatever. I just need him to be
a good guy.
Cool. I'm forever.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he had something a few years ago before he took off. There was something. And
was it bad? Was it like kiddie fiddling or just drugs? Or booze?
Well, it was not,
I don't know.
Not,
I mean, he's doing a lot of Michael Jackson dancing. I can't be the only person who was like, just don't go there,
I thought
Bruno.
It was James Brown dancing.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it was the five guys and the.
I'm pretty sure it was. I'm pretty sure it was drug related. I'm not positive. It obviously wasn't
up,
a
guys.
Huge deal. So.
Okay.
I will out
as long
him
as it's
bit.
Out of his system now. It's all right.
Hopefully, yeah. If he pees in a cup, it'll be out of his system.
Oh boy.
Ta-da. What was your favorite commercial? I only liked one.
Only you only liked one?
I only thought one was a really good commercial.
I liked two of them.
I that's literally right. cried watching one of them, which is embarrassing.
It was the Budweiser
that's
one.
All be
no.
vague.
Okay.
What let's
was it the homecoming one?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you thought was did you post that the homecoming one was bad? Somebody
no,
posted
I did
the
not.
Homecoming. I couldn't remember who posted that.
No. I mean
I don't want to falsely accuse you.
I guess I will say my favorite was actually the Coca-Cola commercial, and I'm delighted in
I think
it's hilarious how outraged people are about the whole they're singing
only
another
some
language.
Tweet only some Twitter people.
I know, yeah. Some twits, but still, I think it's funny when people get so mad about and the whole
their national anthem English language. Well, it's I was watching the game with my friend Leslie, and she turns to me, she goes, "Does this upset you?" And I'm like, "No, I'm pretty almost Canadian. That anthem's in two languages, so it just sort of sounded like the Canadian anthem to me."
Why would she have to upset you?
Because I like to rant about stuff.
Oh, did she think this would be a rant worthy thing?
I don't know.
Oh, I guess for some people it was.
It's not. I mean, I didn't hate any of the commercials. I just there was only one that made. Well, there was a local regional spot that I really enjoyed. And then there was one.
Was it the Scientology
spot.
One?
It was.
Is that
the
what
she
likes?
Tell
the truth.
I've converted
religion and science.
By the way, we really need to tithe the podcast. So, no, I'm just kidding. I actually want people to buy stuff on Amazon through the show. So,
I liked the Muppet one.
Okay,
that was great, and I liked the Radio Shack one.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That was humor. It made sense. It was actually like attached to the product they were selling, other than the car commercials, which was like awesome stuff, this stuff, that stuff, interesting, and buy a blah, blah, blah car, which had nothing to do with whatever they were showing. But,
yeah.
I
agree. The Radio Shack spot was the one national spot where I was like, that is awesome.
Good. Well done.
They
Radio
get
Shack.
It. They were self-deprecating. They're like, we're going back to the 80s. And I said, when people shopped at Radio Shack? And then they followed through, and I'm like, yes!
Way to go.
So they were spot on with that. And like I said, I didn't think any of them were bad.
Which was your favorite?
That's the one.
Radio Shack. Was the favorite. Which one was... what made you cry?
Okay, so what made me cry was the Coca-Cola one. Like, and it was totally... They don't even show the Coke till the end. So I'm just like, oh, this is so beautiful. And they were like including everybody. And then I was like, and Coca-Cola. And I was like, darn you, Coca-Cola, with your sensitive marketing. But I will say in terms of execution, and I love the Muppet one also. Not that this is my favorite, but in terms of what you're talking about product tying in with concept and all that, I thought that the Tim Tebow ones were pretty clever. The whole I have no contract.
Yep. Yeah, that was funny.
That was clever. It made him look better. It made the product look better. It was like a win all around, you know, and I don't know. I was impressed.
You know what annoyed me so much this year was that they previewed and pre-released all the commercials, and they were putting them on Today's Show. That's probably NBC's interest, because they don't want you watching Fox later, so you may as well see the commercials on their channel. But it annoyed me. Like, I didn't want commercial spoilers. I didn't want to see it. That was the fun of seeing what they're going to do.
But they've been doing that for 4 or 5 years
now. I feel like it was really heavily... really just more emphasized this time. And I didn't. And of course, the great irony was that I purposely didn't watch the Budweiser one that everyone was talking about with the puppy. And then I missed it live. So I got to watch it online.
Are you going to watch it yet?
Ted, what was your favorite?
Oh, no. Mine was the Coca-Cola commercial. I thought it was really well done. And I was touched by it. So
And the regional spot that I liked was the Jack in the Box spot, because I thought it was fun.
With the cat, the
the bacon pig, yeah, cow pig thing.
That was funny.
It was funny. It was. No. I know you two hate it.
No. What was the worst one? I didn't feel like there were as many terrible ones this year as there have been in years past. But was there anyone that stuck out to you as like, ugh, this
is
dumb?
I was most bothered by Morpheus from The Matrix selling a car because that totally contradicts what I feel like the spirit of The Matrix was about. And I loved that movie so much. So screw you, Morpheus. You're a sellout. Followed closely made by Bob Dylan.
But yeah, the Bob Dylan one.
American cars.
It's more America. What's more American than America? And I'm like, I don't think that's the spirit of the, okay.
Well,
all right.
Here's the other thing, Bob Dylan. American beer is pretty fucking good, and the American Craft Brewers Association tweeted some crap back at Bob Dylan, not that he's on Twitter, but as I'm enjoying a New Belgium Fat Tire.
Do you have a sandwich in your bag, Becca?
Oh, are you just happy
or
to
something?
See
you? It's not in your bag anymore. There's no meat in there, Kat. You don't want it.
There is no meat in there. It's left over from Snackadium 2014.
Ace doesn't realize this.
Oh.
He's like,
he really wants to see
it. It smells like food.
We finish each other's sandwiches. No? Anybody seen Frozen? Nope. Okay.
No.
Just me.
We want to.
We want to.
Oh, my God. You should go. There's a sing-along.
Yeah,
now.
I was going
to
mention that.
We went on Saturday.
We have.
Adorable.
We'll maybe it's at the Cheapy Theater.
We'll go see it again. Anytime you want to go. T will gladly go with you.
How accommodating. We're talking about Bob Dylan and beer.
Yeah, Bob Dylan. Well, the whole commercial was like, when we let so-and-so brew our beer. And it's like,
whoops.
Bob Dylan, you obviously don't drink beer. I guarantee you don't drive American cars. And if you do, you were in the back of them. And by the way, you hideous 60s harmonica swallowing sellout. Eat it, Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Suck it, Bob Dylan.
Nobody, there was also the big Goldie Blocks commercial during the third quarter.
I was like, I hope they paid for royalties this time.
Yeah,
around.
I know. I think that was that seemed to be like the internet reaction was, did you bought that song this time? Good. Still have the same problem with that product, so I had a friend who was super excited about that commercial coming on, and she was like so happy it was there, and I still am like, everything the makers of Goldie Block say about their product, they are also doing. So they want to like broaden the world of engineers and not have girls forced into girly toys, but then they make a pink story based girl toy. And it just is weird to me.
What if they made a toy that boys and girls could equally enjoy?
Those do exist.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
All right.
It's weird.
Okay. Let's move on, hippies. speaking of hippies, Portland, Portland, Oregon, home of hippies. One man from a downtown Portland shooting remains hospitalized with a wound to his leg, while the 40-year-old suspect is being treated for an accidental, self-inflicted gunshot wound to his testicles.
Oh, not cool.
Dude.
An apparent robbery attempt between the two men, who were neighbors, led to the shooting just before 8 p.m.
Your neighbors.
In a parking lot. During the dispute, the 40-year-old man pulled out a gun and shot the other man in the leg. The wounded 32-year-old man ran over to the Safeway for help. He was later taken to the hospital with a leg injury. Now, as the suspect fled the scene, he accidentally shot himself in the groin, according to police. They say, quote, the suspect's wound is consistent with someone putting a gun in his pants.
Oh, boy.
Consistent with.
It's,
I love it.
Yeah. It's
I
cop,
love it.
Cop talk. Josh Howell is a 42-year-old resident of the same apartment building, said he heard the two loud noises but wasn't sure what they were. He left the building to investigate and said the 40-year-old man walked by and told him to call an ambulance because he'd been shot. It's
fantastic.
Instant karma's gonna get you.
Yeah, it's amazing when that happens. But so good times in Portland.
Oh.
And now to the State of the Union, which fewer people watch than watch the Super Bowl.
I think that's the case most years.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
I think Obama's first State of the Union was probably the most well watched one.
Yeah, lately. We're not gonna talk about State of the State. We're gonna stay State of the Union.
We're gonna skip State of the State because we're a worldwide show.
Because nobody watches State of State.
Yeah, let me break down the State of the State for you. It's really fucking dry here.
Oh.
Yeah, and we have a surplus.
And we're going to have a train.
Yeah.
No water, train, surplus. Yay.
Hey.
State of the State.
We can use
our
surplus to buy water from someplace else. Who's funny on selling water? Never mind.
Oregon, we're coming for you.
Well, we're not going to talk about the State of the Union per se. I mean, the big thing was President Obama said, hey, Congress, I'm going to do stuff without you because you won't help me.
Wow, after 6 years.
That's pretty much it.
That's it. I'm putting my foot down.
So a lot of what happens is
that's all he could stand. He can't stand some more. Sorry.
They talk to different congressmen and senators, and there was a reporter from New York One, which is a cable news outlet, who was talking to Republican Congressman Michael Grimm. Appropriate name. And here's what happened.
And just finally, before we let you go, since we have you here, we haven't had a chance to kind of talk about some
I'm
of the...
I'm not speaking about anything that's off topic. This is only about the president.
Well, what about...
Thank you.
All right, so Congressman Michael Grimm does not want to talk about...
So he walks off, and the reporter's recapping.
Concerning his campaign finances, we wanted to get him on camera on that, but he, as you saw, refused to talk about that. Back to you. Why?
Let me be clear to you. You have to do that to me again. I'm telling you.
What he said was he would if you ever do that to me again, I'll throw you off the fucking balcony. And then later said, no, you're not man enough. You're not a man. I'll break you in half like a boy.
That's what you do to boys, everyone.
You break them
in half.
Indeed.
It is just some sick shit right there. I'm sorry, Mr. New York representative. You are twisted.
Congratulations, Congressman Michael Grimm.
That's just so scary that he thinks he can just go and say that to a reporter.
But that's not... Okay, here's the thing. That doesn't... Yes, it is a literal threat of physical violence. I don't think he's actually going to throw him off. Well, I think it's stupid, macho, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's not... It doesn't... I mean, it's stupid. Like, it's a dumb thing to do. But it doesn't strike me necessarily as that out of the ordinary for like one macho ass dumbass to do to another guy.
Yeah,
like,
it was a dumb thing. But that was somebody who didn't want to talk about anything but the State of the Union. But Representative Randy Weber, who is from Texas, at TX Randy 14, he tweeted on floor of House waiting on Commandant in Chief. He put that in quotes, ..
He could spell commandant, but not waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting. He's from Texas. You don't put a G at the end of words in Texas.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the commandant chief.
So on floor of House, waiting on commandant in chief, the socialist dictator who's been feeding U.S. a line. Or is it a lying?
No, it's a line, I think, is what
clever,
you meant.
Clever.
Yeah. So it's good. It's good to know that everyone in Congress was waiting with an open mind to hear what was going to happen. So that's New York and Texas weighing in, and this got a lot of flack, but I don't think it's anything worth flack. The congressman from Louisiana brought Willie Robertson from Duck Dynasty to the State of the Union.
It did seem strange to me that he was there.
Well, I mean, they bring celebrities. I mean, the First Lady invited Jason Collins, whose only reason for being there was that he was gay and black and out. I mean...
Who is Jason Collins?
Jason Collins is the first openly gay NBA player who's not an NBA player because no one signed him for this upcoming season. He's the one who came out last summer.
Oh, that's right.
So big deal. He was there. He wore his American flag bandana as he's wont to do, and he wore a suit, and he didn't call the president the commandant in chief or threaten to throw anybody off a balcony.
Nice.
So he behaved better than a lot of people in Congress.
Yay.
So there were victims of the Boston bombing, the gay NBAer Jason Collins, and a bunch of minimum wage workers, of course, because that was what the president brought out to make his point about wage equality.
Oh.
Louisiana Representative Vance McAllister brandished his political prop with pride. He said, I am proud to have my close friend, constituent, and small business owner, Willie Robertson.
What? Small? Okay, I guess it is. Kind
it
of
is.
A small
it's a family business.
Yeah.
Attend the State of the Union address as my special guest. I look forward to the two of us representing the 5th District in D.C. this evening and bringing some diversity to our nation's capital. I don't know about diversity, but I don't have a problem
with it. Well, because the whole world is run by liberal black and brown people now. And being a white male, I mean, you're pretty much the minority now. It's really hard.
I don't.
It's really hard to be a white male.
I don't agree. It is. You don't realize. I don't agree with the telling you stuff. I don't agree with the diversity part of it, but I don't have a problem with him bringing anybody he wants to.
No, I don't care.
Whoever your plus one is, I don't care. He didn't bring David Duke.
Yeah, I don't think he shouldn't have been there. I just noted that it was, you know, hey, there's a totally unkempt guy in the gallery.
Right. And
comb that shit, damn it, man.
Let me be glad. Here's why he brought him. You bring the guy from Duck Dynasty that everybody knows, then everybody's going to know who Vance McAllister is, because otherwise no one's going to pay any attention to Vance McAllister from Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
I still don't know that people are going to, because if you watched it, they kind of showed that the Duck Dynasty guy was in the gallery, but they didn't know who he was there with.
I don't think I knew the guy's name until you said it for our prep. So good job, Vance.
I'm just saying that's why I would do it. But
oh, yeah.
People need to settle down with that stuff. It's like, who cares? I think it's a bigger deal that we have congressmen tweeting Commandant in Chief than we have a reality show star respectfully watching the State of the Union.
I totally agree with you.
You know who kind of had an issue with the State of the Union?
Oh, man.
It's our old friend Rush Limbaugh.
Oh,
I thought you were going to say the Iron Sheik.
We also have the State of the Union. The State of the Coup. I think that is what we need to call this. It's not the State of the Union. The State of the Coup. That's between you and me. Don't tell the media. That is a tweak.
You are the media.
It's a tweak. What's going to happen? I just called it the State of the Coup.
Yeah, we heard
now,
you.
Now, the media is not listening here. They never do.
They will hear
that I said this on another website.
Right.
Take your pick. Daily Caller, sure. Media Matters. They will be outraged.
Uh-huh.
And then later this afternoon or tonight or tomorrow.
Right.
They will stay. How reprehensible, how horrible, what is this guy think he is? This is not a banana republic. This is offensive.
I love banana republic.
In turn, get this kind of radio calling it the State of the Coup.
Is it an old Navy?
And when that happens, you will know that you are in on the joke.
You're in on the joke.
It's an income gap.
Because as I say, the media is not listening now. They never do. They will not go to my website to find out about this. They will hear about it. Third way.
Is there a thing?
And be appropriately outraged. So we'll just stick with it all day here. Just for the fun of it, call it a State of the Coup. Plus, it has the added benefit of kind of works.
Why?
Doesn't it?
No.
It doesn't.
No,
that was his whole thing?
Does he know what a coup is? Like an overthrowing of the government?
Yeah, well,
like the government speech is not a coup.
Basically, his whole point was...
Oh, he had a point.
He's going to say State of the Coup because someone will pick up on that headline, put it on their website as clickbait, and people will be all outraged without actually hearing him say what he has to say, which is why I played the whole clip.
To torture us all.
Because I'm like, okay, you want to be that way? I'll play it. There you go, Rush. Is it clickbait? Yeah. Did people get upset about it? I'm sure some people were.
I haven't heard a word about that until this thing.
He's just flapping his gums.
Yes, that's what he does.
That's all I'm saying.
Flapping his
gum flapper.
I don't like him.
He's not my favorite either.
That's okay. It was only a minute of him. It seemed longer, I know.
It seemed to go
enough.
On forever.
It was good. Okay. I'm good now.
So let's take a look at the fact-checking, a little bit of fact-checking from the State of the Union. Obama said, let's make this a year of action. That's what most Americans want, for all of us in the chamber to focus on their lives, their hopes, their aspiration. The president focused on the plight of the American workers and ways to lift them out of poverty. He noted the nation's top earners have never done better, including the last 4 years, but average wages have barely budged. That second claim rates as true.
Dun, dun, dun.
From 2008 to 12, the average wage for workers is up 1 to 1.7% when adjusted for inflation. That's a rising wage, but a small amount. The current average national wage is about $45,000.
Yeah, in terms of inflation, what kind of raise is that? It's not an increase at all, is it?
It is. That's with inflation.
Oh, excuse me. Okay, I retract everything I just said.
It's just not that much.
It's nothing.
He also announced an executive order raising the minimum wage for employees of federal contractors to $10.10 an hour. The minimum wage has been a big issue for Democrats and Obama, who have argued that the current $7.25 is too low. Today, the federal minimum wage is worth about 20% less than when Ronald Reagan first stood here. PolitiFact rated that claim as mostly true. He's not far off. The difference is actually closer to 16%. The minimum wage in Reagan's first year in office was $3.35. That translates to about $8.59 in 2013 dollars. Now, to the other side, the Republican response provided more fact-checking fodder. Of course, Representative Kathy McMorris-Rogers, who's from Washington, said the the GOP wants to close the gap between where you are and where you want to be. She blamed Obama's policies for that gap and said last month more Americans stopped looking for a job than found one. They rated her claim half true. She chose December to illustrate the point when the number of discouraged workers increased by 155,000 and the economy added 74,000 jobs. However, December was one of only 2 months in 2013 during which the number of discouraged workers grew by more than the number of new jobs added. So, shocker, you found the stat that worked for your point. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky offered his own response to Obama's speech, choosing to chastise him for the 2009 economic stimulus. Mr. President, where are the jobs? You spent nearly $1 trillion on make-work government jobs, and still joblessness confronts the next generation. PolitiFact rated Paul's statement as false.
Oh, not Ron Paul.
Rand Paul.
Ron Paul.
Rand Paul.
I don't care what his name is. No, I'm sorry. Rand Paul.
The stimulus so far has cost $816 billion, which is close to nearly $1 trillion, especially if you factor in the estimated debt. The big issue here is Paul's charge that the money paid for make-work government jobs, as only a fraction of the money went to pay for government employees. Two-thirds of the spending went toward tax cuts and entitlement programs, and private contractors largely received the remaining one-third. So there you go. Basically, what the president said was true or mostly true. What his detractors said was kind of false.
Aww.
So you pick your side, whatever you want. Who do you want to side with?
The true one?
You want to go with the true guy?
I think so.
But he's scary.
It's true.
He's a scary communist, Ted.
I've seen him.
It's true.
The Nate Darling Show.
Hey.
Cool.
Or
tool.
Whoa.
You know, we actually got to this far sooner than I thought we would in the show.
That's crazy.
I know. First up in Cooler Tool, sports tattoos. Sports tattoos, Ted.
I think sports tattoos are generally not cool. Or tool, if you will.
Becca?
I'm not a big fan of tattoos in general. I mean, do what you will, but I guess since I have to pick, I'll say tool.
Christiana?
I feel like I want to quote the fabulous whatever year it was, Jimmy Fallon, Drew Barrymore movie, Fever Pitch.
Oh, dear God.
By yes. saying... You love the Boston Red Sox, but have the Red Sox ever loved you back?
Aww.
The tats are tool.
I'm torn here.
Oh.
Because,
yeah,
because
you tool. That's what you want to say.
Because
no, say
because
cool.
An actual sports tat is cool unless you're using it to brag like a jackass. And
oh.
then it's and then it's tool.
So you should do it purely for the love, not
do it for the love of the game.
Pride.
Yeah, don't go bragging about it. If you want to put your a logo on your body somewhere, go ahead.
That is all the validation needed to go get my Detroit Lions tat.
Sure.
Does anyone on this show have a tattoo?
No,
I don't.
Not yet.
Not yet. You're
that's
gonna
the,
get a...
That's the only like game over thing in my household. I'm pretty sure I could pierce whatever, maybe do drugs. But if I ever got a tattoo, my dad would probably
really?
Never speak to me again. Yeah, it's a big deal.
I thought you were talking about Rob for a second.
No. Well, I don't think... I mean, Rob's not a fan either. Rob doesn't have tattoos. My brother-in-law has a tattoo, and we managed as a family to keep that hidden from my dad for 10 years.
Wow.
Until my younger sister spoiled it. And it's like a very small... It's not a big deal. My dad doesn't actually
Interesting.
Kick him out. But
wow.
Yeah, it's a big deal. We're a no-tattoo family.
In Judaism, if you're not supposed to get a tattoo, you're just not supposed to. It's against the rules. But what's your dad's beef about? Just conservative?
It's barbaric.
Mm.
Oh.
Interesting.
Why would you do that to your body?
My mom has tattoos, and she's always like, do you want to get one too? And I'm like, no.
I'm not. I mean, the main reason I wouldn't get one is, one, it's not going to... I mean, it's not even going to look great now. When would it look great later when I'm older? And I'm just way too indecisive. Like, I don't know
Me
what
too.
I would pick that I would actually like that long.
Me too.
The only thing that I... At this point, the only thing I could ever imagine getting incorporated somehow would be, like, my kid's name, because that's one
Ooh.
Thing that's never going to change. But
unless she changes it.
Unless she changes it.
What about a portrait of Nancy Pelosi?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
But I should say that my mom's tattoos are really cute. I don't want to... I'm not disparaging my mother's tattoos, just in case she's listening.
Okay.
It's just... same thing.
I can't choose.
19, I picked some stuff that I thought would be cool.
Yeah.
It's not cool anymore.
Up next in Cooler Tool, self-neutering. Self-neutering, Becca.
What? No.
So, tool?
Well, wait. I mean, I guess Like, if you're a person that uses birth control, is that the same?
No.
I don't think it is.
Okay.
It
you
is
mean not. You mean with a handgun in your pocket?
Yes.
Kind of
thing? Shooting yourself in the balls.
For if you were a girl doing that, I mean, that's definitely...
That's commitment.
That's a game over kind of situation, I think.
I'm going to go with Tool.
Christiana?
Tool.
Ted?
Look, if you decide you don't want to have kids anymore, you can get your tubes tied, or you can just do it yourself. It's cheaper and saves time and money, so... It's Tool. No,
except
no,
for the
no.
emergency room visit that happens immediately thereafter.
Obamacare covers it. You're good to go.
I'm happy this guy won't be reproducing. So cool. And finally, in cooler Tool, balconies. Christiana.
Balconies are, those are cool.
Ted?
Yeah, balconies are great. You can spit on people, drop water balloons on them, or just stand and wave like the queen.
Or have a romantic conversation like Romeo and Juliet.
Whilst dropping water balloons on people.
Becca?
Romantically cool.
Yeah, they're cool. I mean, yeah, and you can they make for great threats to throw people off of, or if you're Suge Knight, to just dangle someone by their ankles.
Ooh, good times.
So,
romantically, honey, romantically.
We were talking about the romantically hanging people off the balcony.
Wink.
So bring us closer together.
We talked a little bit about Super Bowl commercials earlier, but this article I found interesting and right. And very right. You know, all you have all these commercials, mostly Coors Light and Bud Light, who talk about how cold filtered their beer is and ice brewed and all of this other stuff. Turns out it means nothing, shockingly enough.
Yeah.
So Coors,
it's toasted.
Coors' unique frost brewed process locks in taste as cold as the Rockies. Miller Genuine Draft claims to be cold filtered for smoothness. Yes, a Lucky Strike was toasted. And nothing happens. Turns out it means nothing.
They put them in the fridge for a while and it gets cold. Is that what happens?
Yeah. No, we're not. We're going to go that next. So basically, Busch Light also, it's the cold truth. They mean nothing.
Oh, here it is. Cold filtering is popular because it's cheaper. Sorry.
Right.
And faster. That's what it is.
What's the slower one? Like lukewarm?
Hot. All lagers are conditioned at near freezing temperatures, and cold filtering is popular term to pasteurization because it's faster and cheaper.
Oh.
Pasteurization.
It's pasteurized does not sound as sexy.
It does not.
Like milk.
But I'd use it as an argument for like why it's okay to have it in the morning. It's pasteurized. Milk is pasteurized. You can drink milk in the morning. Therefore, you can have beer in the morning too.
Well, here's the other thing. The if you get beer really, really cold and it actually has flavor to it, like... I don't know, say a New Belgium Fat Tire Amber Ale.
Fat Tire.
It kills the flavor. But if you have a shitty beer, like, say, Budweiser or Coors Light, it just masks the fact that you're drinking watery beer.
I had the worst beer yesterday. I had a taste of a beer. It was a pepper beer.
Pepper?
It hurt.
Like
it was, like, spicy. Yeah, it was, like, spicy. I don't know what. I don't know the maker of it.
Huh.
It was brought by a friend, and they also didn't like it, so I don't think I'm offending them. But Rob's like, taste that, and I'm like, you asshole, why did you make me that? Like, it hurt. Like, it hurt my lips, it hurt my throat. I had to, like, eat some chips and drink some other stuff to make it go away.
It's you don't like spice in general.
No,
but
also your beer. I mean, it's okay to have, like, a spicy and a cinnamon chai kind of way, whatever, but this was, like, not a flavor you'd want in a beverage.
Oh, like chili pepper beer?
I don't know.
Like
I have to look it up at home. I'm sure. I think we still have it in the fridge or something. But
I just Googled it. And I see some chili beer.
It was awful.
Sometimes people get a little too fancy.
Yeah,
with beer.
Garlic
they try.
Beer.
I mean, beer is what you have when you're eating the really spicy food
to calm
to like,
it down. Yeah,
not to add a whole other dimension of hell to it.
Yeah. So don't buy their hype. Don't buy their crap. Buy a nice microbrewed American beer. Fuck you, Bob Dylan. See, I went back around to yelling
back
at Bob Dylan. I just like yelling at Bob Dylan.
Who doesn't?
I know.
I don't.
You should.
You should like yelling at people, honey.
Especially Bob Dylan.
He's the worst. He's worse than Obama.
Speaking of Dylan.
He is worse than Obama. Thank you, Ted.
He's worse than Obama.
Well, I guess he is, but
oh, dear.
Doesn't really mean anything.
It's mostly because Obama's not really bad by any stretch of the imagination.
he's the commandant. Did you not read the tweet?
I did.
Okay.
On Twitter, we know it's true.
Oh, you mentioned Twitter.
What's
the Iron Sheik up to?
What is he up to? Giraffe tits.
No. Let me find something that isn't about. Let me see if he has a Super Bowl tweet for us. Oh, here's one. This is probably true. Russell Wilson have sex with anybody he want tonight. Hashtag Super Bowl.
That is probably true.
Yeah, there you go.
Wait, I think my favorite one is Seattle Seahawks play like Seattle Seahawks.
No, Seahawks.
Seahawks.
Oh,
yeah, got
I like
it.
What he did there.
Can't read that well.
And at a certain point, he got upset with Denver. All caps. Denver, you fucking jabroni, no good, tic-tac dick, piece of shit. I break my fucking TV back with my camel clutch. Go fuck yourself. Hashtag Super Bowl.
He's really clinging to that camel clutch.
Hashtag okay. Is the camel clutch a wrestling move?
That's his submission hold.
That was his submission
hold. So he was going to put his TV in a submission hold because the Broncos were doing so bad?
Yes.
What else would you do if you were the Iron Sheik?
It disgusted him so much.
I feel like that'd be easier to do with an old cathode ray tube TV than a flat screen.
Maybe that's what he's got rocking.
It's more to grab onto.
The Iron Sheik's old school. He may have that.
He probably does. I don't doubt it at all. Recently, I believe it was the Golden Globes. Mm-hmm. There was a big tribute to Woody Allen, and we're going to turn serious a little bit here on the show. Mm-hmm. Sorry, shift of gears.
Yeah, for a very serious darling show.
And
do you need more M&Ms?
get some M&Ms.
That's how we get through the tough, the Rush Limbaugh and the serious bad stuff.
Dylan Farrow, who's Mia Farrow's adopted daughter, wrote an open letter to the New York Times. Based upon what happened with Woody Allen getting all these accolades in Hollywood lately, and there's probably more coming. And she alleges that he molested her when she was 7 years old. Charges weren't brought, and that's addressed in the letter. Basically, the prosecutor supposedly said that there was enough evidence to bring charges, but they didn't want to put a very young Dylan Farrow through the ordeal of a trial like that. And the open letter starts out, "What's your favorite Woody Allen movie? Before your answer, you should know when I was 7 years old, Woody Allen took me by the hand and led me to a dim, closet-like attic on the second floor of our house. He told me to lay on my stomach and play with my brother's electric train set. Then he sexually assaulted me. He talked to me while he did it, whispering that I was a good girl, that this was our secret, promising that we'd go to Paris and I'd be a star in his movies. I remember staring at the toy train, focusing on it as it traveled in a circle around the attic. To this day, I find it difficult to look at toy trains." Grabs your attention, doesn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't, and it doesn't get any. The article doesn't get any more like any easier to read.
No, this dude's a sicko.
For the balance of it.
Yeah, and basically it goes through, and you know it's worth a read. I'm not going to read the whole thing here. I'll go through to the end. "Today, I consider myself lucky. I'm happily married. I have the support of my amazing brothers and sisters. I have a mother who found within herself a well of fortitude that saved us from the chaos of a predator brought into our home. But others are still scared, vulnerable, and struggling for the courage to tell the truth. The message that Hollywood sends matters for them. What if it had been your child, Kate Blanchett, Louis C.K., Alec Baldwin? What if it had been you, Emma Stone, or you, Scarlett Johansson? You knew me when I was a little girl, Diane Keaton. Have you forgotten me? Woody Allen is a living testament to the way our society fails the survivors of sexual assault and abuse. So imagine your 7-year-old daughter being led to an attic by Woody Allen. Imagine she spends a lifetime stricken with nausea at the mention of his name. Imagine a world that celebrates her tormentor. Are you imagining that? Now, what's your favorite Woody Allen movie?" It brings it around. And without going into is it true, is it not true, it's, you know, she's saying it's true. There's no reason to necessarily doubt it. Even and there are other things in the article besides that one thing that she references. If any of them are true,
it's some sick shit.
It's incredibly sick shit.
Sorry to cut you off there. Yeah.
you could not be more right. And the fact that people are celebrating Woody Allen is best case scenario, unfortunate. Best case scenario. I'm going to put a big happy face on it. Mm-hmm. Best case scenario. We don't celebrate Roman Polanski.
Well, kind
not like this, and we shouldn't. And Roman Polanski, what he did was not okay at all.
It sucks because Chinatown is such a good film. Oh yeah, and I don't feel like I can watch it anymore.
But
it upsets me greatly.
But the whole thing, and the point, the greater point, is if you have someone like this, it's like she's not saying don't let Woody Allen make movies. She's not saying no one should watch Woody Allen movies.
Oh, she kind of is.
She is. But yeah. but she's her main point is don't put him up on a pedestal as a great man when he did this to me.
Right.
And I think it's a fair point.
The there's a Daily Beast article that keep seeing the link put up for every time somebody links to this is like a but. Where this guy, he did a documentary about Woody Allen. I don't remember his name, but he's another filmmaker whose products I will not.
And he can eat a dick too.
Purchase, yeah. It's like the greatest hits of abuse apologists. Because I think he starts every other paragraph with, I mean, it's great that she says what she says, and she believes what she believes, and her brother believes what he believes, but here's all the reasons that, of course, she's wrong, and why would you do this if this happened, and why would Mia Farrow agree to let the film clips be used if it's so bad, as if, realistically, Mia Farrow personally signs off on any shit and doesn't have a management team to do that for her.
Right.
But it doesn't matter, like, none of it, it's just, it's a terrible... It's a great example of why people do not come forward when they are abused.
Yeah.
Everything in that article is a perfect thing. He talks about shitty things that Mia Farrow's done in terms of sleeping with married men, like all the other moral ills, which is somehow balances out, or therefore, because Mia Farrow probably slept around with a bunch of married people and broke up some marriages.
Right.
Sorry, Dylan Farrow. Guess you had to deal with the sexual abuse. There's really no reason. Or because, you know, the myth of the judicial system proving innocence, or the fact that charges weren't brought proves that he didn't do it. Or my favorite thing ever, the fact that Suni Previn was not, he never legally adopted her.
Right.
And she was not blood related to him. Therefore, that can't be used as evidence that maybe he has some predilections that are problematic. It's astonishing, but not surprising at all, because this is exactly how we treat, sexual abuse victims.
Yeah.
No matter who they are. I mean, this girl who's got very powerful mother with a lot of good connections, unfortunately was abused by somebody who is also powerful with a lot of good connections.
Yeah. And was in her home.
And she can't get, you know, and everything has an asterisk, like, oh, alleged. Like, we're not saying it happened. We're not saying it. Yeah, it probably did.
Yeah.
There's, I'm confident she was. And the guy's a dick.
And like I said,
who likes young women, even, which is pretty clear from all his films also.
Even if only one of the things she's talking about was happening.
Yeah.
Even if only one of them, even if the least egregious of them was happening, it should not ever happen.
Yeah.
To a 7-year-old or a any underage
or
girl.
An 8-year-old or, well, a 15-year-old or a 17-year-old or,
well, maybe 17,
anybody.
Nope.
So, but you know, I mean, I just love the best is the fact that people point that, you know, well, he never legally adopted Suni Previn, therefore it was okay and not weird at all, completely legal when he married her at 19.
Yeah, and
didn't do anything before she turned 19. There was nothing inappropriate before then, obviously.
And she's smart. She went to Columbia and speaks lots of languages, so she would know better.
Right.
Right, yep. because you know, 17-year-old girls can't be manipulated by someone older and more powerful.
Only dumb illiterate girls get
preyed
upon. So
jackass.
Yeah. It's good. It's a good day. It's a good day in media. It's a good day in culture.
Don't you love it when Christiana and I agree so wholeheartedly about a project?
I do actually love it.
You know there's truth behind it when you agree.
Well, when Christiana and I both agree fervently about something, if anybody who doubts it is
just
absolutely
super
wrong.
Yeah.
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 No, it's cool. You're saying everything that pretty much, you know, that I would say, and I don't feel very articulate on this subject. I read a really good essay on this morning, and I cannot remember for the life of me what online publication it was in, but it was basically about how, you know, we need, when two people say things that are exactly at odds with each other, we kind of have to presume, like, they're both entitled to being presumed innocent until being proven guilty, but that so much of the culture is rushing to his defense instead of her defense, and how, and I know, Nate, you hate the phrase rape culture, but it was like, you know, they were talking about that. And I don't know. It was very well written. And I think you guys said it all. I should shut it. But I wish that I could direct people to that essay. But for the life of me, I can't remember.
I think what gets me is that it's sort of impossible that every single case of abuse that gets reported that that's the case where the girl was coached to make it up. And that's right. always the counterpoint.
Right.
Especially when you're dealing with more famous people, where it would frankly be even more likely to be doing something untoward because they are surrounded by people who are there to kiss their ass and do, and they're powerful people and get away with whatever they want to do. You know, it's just, it's, yeah. God, it's disheartening about humans in general.
Yeah.
I guess I'm glad that we're talking, you know, that she's talking about it in a way. Like, part of me was like, whoa, girl, like, you are so brave to put right. to put that out like that, because I know how people will behave, you know, and she was so detailed. And part of me was so scared for her, you know, like the mm-hmm. backlash was going to be so incredible. But I also feel like the frequency that this happens in our culture is so huge compared to yeah. the frequency that we can talk about it in any helpful way. And so I don't know. I mean, I don't know what'll come out of this whole discussion. I kind of don't even care if Woody Allen gets any sort of comeuppance or boycott mm-hmm. or anything at all. But I just wish that there was a more helpful way to talk about this, because I feel like this is something that happens like an incredible amount, and you just sort of like have this shame and you go through your life and maybe you get some private therapy or maybe you don't. And like, it just sort of colors so much of who you are and what you do as you move forward into adulthood. And it's like, everybody's going through it, but nobody's talking about it, or I don't know. And it's just, it's like an open secret that this is a huge problem in our society, well, and it's time to have a better approach than we do.
Yeah, I don't know that everybody's going through it. But
not everybody, but it's like a third of women.
It is like a third of women.
Bottom line
yeah.
is, the bottom line is nobody should have to go through it.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's disheartening because you think about, you know, like a Dixie Chick says something disparaging about President Bush, and we've got radio stations right. and they host like mass burnings of the CDs and whatever. And this just, you know, and something like this where it's really bad, you know, it's not like the Dixie Chick tried to like assassinate a president. She right. just said something about him, but this causes people to run out and like buy more Woody Allen movies or, you know, tweet their heartfelt support for his position or whatever. Like there should be some repercussion for him because he, you know, Dylan Farrow has lived in a prison of sorts probably her entire life because this happened, and he's doing fine, surrounded by young girls, still making movies, doing yeah. whatever he wants to do, and there's really no, you know, and there's really no repercussions for him.
And you mentioned
him.
It was her brother Ronan who tweeted a lot about yeah. it during the Golden Globes. About how he raped his seven, about how Woody Allen raped his 7-year-old sister. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing there had been a dialogue between the two of them that Ronan didn't just throw that out there on Twitter.
Well, she had said it. I mean, she talked about the right. abuse before, not as, you know, lengthy or as highlighted as this New York Times piece, but there was a Vanity Fair article where she talked about it. Mia Farrow talked about it. Like, it's, I don't think it was.
Well, it's not a matter
even
of,
if they didn't talk about it before, I'm not sure that he, like, spoke out of turn about it.
No, but what I'm saying is you're not going to put something like that out there that will obviously put a focus on your sister if she's not ready for that.
Yeah, hopefully.
I mean, he's a smart guy. He's got a show on MSNBC.
True.
He knows what he's doing. And she was, I mean, everybody knew there was going to be a tribute to Woody Allen at the Golden Globes. That was not a secret.
Yeah. Florida lawmakers will consider a bill that aims to give
Florida
a
Corner.
Little more
wow.
sunshine to residents and tourists of the Sunshine State. Wow. As 10 News reporter Preston Rudy explains, if it's approved, it would be a first.
How did that happen?
In the country.
Just did it.
Florida.
Stop a computer.
When we fall back in the fall, we
it's
lose an choice. Hour of evening sunshine, so it's dark out earlier. But we can keep that hour of
did
evening
it take
sunshine
that long to load?
If we simply stay on daylight
no,
saving time
around
year round.
And then it has a very strong chance of passing.
I'm uncomfortable.
And that's exactly
I'm uncomfortable
what New Tampa State Representative Mark Danish is proposing. He wants Florida to observe daylight saving time 12 months a year.
What's happening
right
very
now? Good for the economy. It'll also save energy.
Florida Corner.
By not having to use the light so early.
No, you
so
have to pause it. We have
us.
To go into this
Danish
the right way.
Danish says the extra hour would be good
it's
for our
too,
tourist
it's
industry.
It's too jarring.
It is
it's
a little
too jarring.
It is a little jarring.
About daylight savings.
Too
they
jarring.
Want to keep it going all the time.
Yeah, because then it'll yeah. always be light later, and we'll always save electricity.
Because that's been pitched before. That's not a new premise.
It's not, but it is for Florida right now.
Oh, Florida.
But isn't it like there's always the same amount of daylight hours and nighttime hours regardless of what time we decide to say it is?
Yes, but it's when they are. See, so early in the evening, it'll either be dark or light.
Florida will be like opposite Arizona if it does that.
It'll be weird. Yeah, because Arizona doesn't at all.
So Florida for itself would have a different time zone than the rest of the East.
Half the year, the time would change.
Florida time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Florida. Arizona has that too, but they have it the opposite way.
Yeah.
Let's just leave it at that. Florida's weird.
I'm all about. I wouldn't mind actually getting rid of daylight savings, and I guess it doesn't matter to me which way it goes. But I don't know. Everybody I know complains about daylight savings.
I know. I don't care.
I like the extra hour of sleep, but then I hate losing an hour of sleep.
I know. It's the yin yang of daylight savings time.
I don't really. It's just something that happens twice a year.
Also in Florida. Caretaker used stun gun on three children as punishment, called the electric chair.
Oh, God, why?
She's been arrested for allegedly using a stun gun on three young children. They were 7, 8, and 9, reportedly told investigators that Latina Smith, who's 41, would hold them for a timeout for an hour, and if they moved, they'd be zapped.
I feel like the Florida corner story should be like, idiot does something stupid while robbing something hurt self. But then when it's somebody abuses kids, and I can't.
I know. I think we
do it. It's little kids.
We tipped into, there's too much child abuse, I think, in the last 10 minutes on this show.
We're all down.
I've fallen into sad.
Okay, let me change it for you.
A big pool of triggered sad.
Change it.
Headline, Florida man tasered an eyeball outside bar.
Did he do it himself? Because then it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Or was it Woody Allen? Then it's hilarious. Huh? Because of the whole
I don't know. He has a neck tattoo.
He has a tattoo.
He has a neck tattoo.
What sporting team is it for?
He was a gun-toting Florida man, tasered in the eyeball outside One-Eyed Jack's sports bar.
Oh.
So it's how ironic.
I'm
going to eat more M&M's to see if it improves my mood.
I'm going to turn it down a little bit.
I ate like half the bag during the Dylan Farrow piece. I guess I looked at the show prep, but I didn't realize we were going to be talking about that.
One of the prompts from the 50,000-volt stun gun punctured his right eyeball.
Oh, brother.
That's disgusting.
The other prong stuck into the left side of his face.
Okay.
Okay, I'm quitting this show. If you don't come up with something right now that doesn't traumatize me, I'm out of here.
I got...
Do this.
Okay. Oh. Dear Lego Company.
This is from a little girl.
My name is Charlotte. I'm 7 years old and I love Legos, but I don't like that there are more Lego boy people and barely any Lego girls. Today I went to a store and saw Legos in two sections, the girls pink, the boys blue. All the girls did was sit at home, go to the beach, and shop. And they had no jobs. But the boys went on adventures, worked, saved people, and even had jobs and swam with sharks. I want to make more Lego girl people and let them go on all adventures and have fun, okay? Thank you. From Charlotte. So apparently Legos are made by the same people who designed Paris Hilton.
It's the Lego Friends series that they started marketing to girls.
Oh, okay.
They had something to put in the pink aisle.
Okay, I was unaware.
A couple years back.
I'm not up on my Lego stuff.
Yeah, even Anita Sarkeesian, who does a cool... my headphones, my audio is super whack on today's show, so if I'm yelling at listeners, I apologize.
You're fine.
They live in like City of Friendship or City of Love or Love Something Happy Village. I don't know, but they made this line of girl Legos and they sell them in the girls, and they do there is like Lego City that's gender neutral because it's not pink, which therefore makes it neutral. And they, you know, build the firehouse, build the police station, build the whatever. But the Lego Friends are like ice cream shop, beauty parlor, pet shop, veterinarian.
They have jobs. Why is she lying about
it? Yeah, but they have girl. They have sort of stereotypical like pink ghetto roles, and it is a little bit more passive. Like there's no Lego girl firehouse.
Mm-hmm.
So I get her point.
Right. They're.
So
I do too.
The whole Legos used to be marketed very gender neutral. They'd show boys and girls. This was Rob actually texted me because this was one of those parenting moments that rose to that level. That they were at Fry's as they often go.
Sure.
And
as one does.
They were looking at, like, they have some random toys at Fry's. And there was a toy helicopter or something. I think a little remote controlled helicopter. And my kid said, that one's for boys. Because there was a picture of a boy playing with it on a box.
Oh.
And so the pictures matter. I mean, it wasn't like, and she certainly has not been raised that, like, only, you know, helicopters can only be played with by boys or girls. But
right.
because the picture on the box, you know, and if she looks at Target and the pink stuff is where the pink aisle is where the princesses are and that pink stuff is there, like, the message she gets is those toys are for her and the stuff in the aisle without the pink, those toys are not for her. And that's where they put the Tinker toys and the science toys and the Legos that aren't that don't only get to work with animals and whatever. And so it is a problem. I mean, it limits what girls think is appropriately feminine.
Well, so. I'm sure he explained to her that it's perfectly okay for
Yeah. Of course he did. But I mean, not every kid is going to say out loud that thing. They just sort of, it just sort of is a message that's there for them. And then if they don't like the girl things, that can lead to problems later on.
So I think the solution,
it can lead to social problems.
I think the biggest solution here is good parenting and,
yeah,
and it, communicating with your kids.
But they could also go back. I mean, I had a ton of Legos when I was a kid in the 80s. I had Legoland Main Street. And I had Legos that could build airplanes and different stuff. And it was just Legos back then. And there were little men and little women in Main Street, you know, and they had the different pop-on hair. So you knew this was a girl and this was a boy. But you could do whatever you wanted with any of those things. And you were building your own buildings and your own cars. And it just was not a thing. And I guess it's just profitable to make these two sets of Legos or something.
Oh, it absolutely is, because then you have to buy two sets if you have a boy and a girl. You don't. You have to get the. There's a reason to. There's an economic reason why you have a pink set of toys and a blue set of toys.
Yeah.
The other thing with the Lego friends, the girl Legos, is they're not like the minifigs, the little square people that are barely gendered. Like, one has a little plastic ponytail and one isn't, but they look exactly the same.
Yeah.
The Lego friends, they have like skinnier, leggier Lego,
like,
people that are
Legos.
Very not quite that bad, but they definitely, they're not the minifig people. They're more like
Paris
like
Hilton.
Doll toys. So, but no, I mean, yes, parenting is part of it, and yes, I definitely tell my kid that there's not boy girls or boy toys and girl toys. But not every kid is going to say all the time, like, oh, that's for girls and that's for boys. But there's a lot of peer pressure involved in it, and you hear other people say that's for girls and that's for boys. And then if you end up growing up, I mean, I can remember my first summer at junior high camp when I still packed, you know, crappy clothes and old banged up tennis shoes and whatever, because we're going to summer camp, and all the other girls got off the bus with their caboodles full of makeup and their nice clothes, and they didn't run and jump and play and swim anymore. They sat quietly somewhere else and did it. And then you end up being, you're kind of like, if you're not doing the girl things, why aren't you doing the girl things?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to do the girl stuff if you want to fit in. So it's a trickle down thing.
So it's really the girl's fault is what you're saying.
No, it's not the girl's fault. It's just there's a lot of messaging out there that comes. You can't, as a parent, you can't control everything that your kid's going to absorb from the world, you know? So to the extent to which, as a consumer, I can say, I mean, I agree with Charlotte's letter there. At the extent as a consumer, I can say, like, hey, Lego, do the right thing.
Sure. And Lego will do whatever makes them the most money.
That's right.
That's what they do. Little announcement. If you haven't seen it yet, if you haven't been on the website, if you haven't been on NateDarlingShow.com, and you somehow listen to the show not through iTunes, you might not have noticed that the Well Hung podcast is out. The first episode available now. It came out on Monday. Another one will come out again on Monday, because there will be a new show every Monday. Myself and Diana Hong, you're asking yourself, Nate, we get enough of you. Why more of you? Well, this is Diana's show. She picks the topics we talk about, and this is sort of her baby. So we go down her road, and I'm just along for the ride.
And I believe I read that the first one is about Macklemore and the Grammys race controversy.
Mm-hmm. The race controversy. It's about white rappers. We talk about a lot of things, but it's based around the Grammys and Macklemore and few little insights here and there, and it's a fun show. It's a fun show, but we get a little bit serious, we get a little bit fun too. So nothing as deadly serious as child molestation yet. But hey, fingers crossed, we have more shows to go. Anyway, so check that out. It's free. It's every Monday. So we have fun shows for you Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Also, again this year, right after the Oscars, it's going to be the third annual Golden Naked Man Awards. That is a bonus show that will be at this point, hoping to have the gang back, Hootie and Jason, to do the show.
I really needed you saying the blowfish after that.
Nope.
Right.
Hootie and Jason. Hopefully having them on board. We've had preliminary discussions, but we're going to do it. It's the award show for the award show. It's not about the movies. It's about the weird television show that was on to salute the movie. So hopefully that will be coming soon. So a lot of cool stuff coming for you, and it's all free. So all we ask is two things. One, tell somebody that that you know that you found a show you like, because you're obviously listening this far in. You like the show. Tell them about the show, and if you're going to buy something on Amazon, no matter what it might be, something for yourself, a gift for somebody else, maybe some office supplies for
Valentine's
the office.
Valentine's Day is coming up.
It is.
Buy something.
So is my birthday.
So is his birthday.
All you got to do is go to NateDarlingShow.com, click the Shop Amazon tab. It takes you right there. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and it helps support the show. And we do very much so appreciate your business.
Nate, you're 100% right.
Exactly.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
All right. We've had a lot of strife here in the show today.
We've had a lot of agreement.
And too. Well, yeah, but bad
about
topics.
Sad stuff.
Yeah.
It was the first time I ever threatened to walk out.
True.
Probably won't be the last.
No. Hey, so this will make you happy. It's time for Speak Out.
Yay!
I drop my kids off at Monty Street School, and the lights in the parking lot are on at 8:10. The sun's been up for more than a half hour. Our tax dollars can be used more wisely than for this waste.
Bob. Like other waste. We could use it for other waste.
Yeah, how dare you light my kids when they don't need it. Hey, we can't blame all our buried sidewalks on Mother Nature. Slow the trucks down on the streets with no parking. Stop multiple runs on streets in the same hour when residents just cleared their driveways.
I don't get
I don't get that at all.
I know.
Oh,
silly. Runs on a street, you know,
East Coast is dumb.
Traffic congestion in the city can be improved with some easy fixes. Use both lanes to proceed east on Broad and Beekman. Hold left turns till the end of the cycle when turning from Boynton onto Oak. The mess at Broad and Peru is beyond help.
Yeah, right. I said that
right?
So many times.
Yeah, I know. I would like to thank the person who anonymously paid for my order at Cumberland Head Dunkin' Donuts January 16th around 7:30 a.m. It was a wonderful start to my morning. I will be sure to pay it forward this act of kindness.
Yay. Oh, that's sweet.
That's way better than the guy who was pissed off about it. Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah, that guy.
I can afford it. What's wrong with you? Jerk.
Anyway.
Hey, why are dozens of high-ranking officers being purged from the U.S. military all of a sudden? There have been dozens upon dozens in the past 24 months. Are they all being caught in scandals, or does this have to do with refusing to take away guns?
What?
Definitely the
guns.
None of that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Right. It's Speak Out. It doesn't have to make
That's
sense.
That's true.
Say things.
I wish the Pope would come over here and clean out the White House just like he did at the Vatican Bank. He fired everyone and started over with new people.
Is that what he did?
Won't the White House be a different place if they could lose their jobs that easy?
It would be not a democracy if they made the president. It would be a coup. It would be Rush Limbaugh.
Yes,
if the
Pope took over the White House,
That would be a different place.
Yeah, it would be a very religious coup.
I don't think people, that's not what you want.
Not
people
okay.
Hate Obama.
Yeah, no matter how many weird memes of things he said.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I would prefer the ghost of John F. Kennedy come back with half a head and do it.
That'd be awesome.
Over the Pope.
I
went Catholic. It's ironic that many people who speak against teachers and their union clearly demonstrate their own failure to grasp and retain fundamentals of education.
Ah.
You're dumb.
Zing.
Hey, on a long road trip, we saw several drivers drifting in and out of lanes. All of them were using handheld cell phones. Hopefully, the many drivers we saw getting tickets were caught doing the same.
Hopefully.
Probably not. Yeah.
No, I see that all the time, though. Every time you see a weaving driver and you look in their car, they are always
or
texting.
Or a slow driver or this inattentive driver. It's the worst. Stop it, people. And also signal when you're not. You don't talk on your phone.
God, signal, please.
Please, just so I know what you're doing.
Sound is the worst.
Helps me.
Hey, if you don't really want to quit smoking, Pills, patches, gum, fake cigarettes, or any other crutch in this world will not make you quit. If, on the other hand, you've stopped making excuses and decide you have the willpower to quit, nothing in this world will stop you.
Wow, they really know how addiction works, don't they?
It's true. Hey, it's time to rise up, fellow Christians, and fight for what's ours in this state. If Cuomo has his way, we'll all worship in seclusion. Regardless of scripture, we're no longer welcome here, according to Comrade Andy.
Talking about...
Didn't you hear about how he closed all of the churches in New York? Oh, no, because it didn't happen.
Right. What? I don't understand what the basis of that even
is. He turned St. Patrick's Cathedral into a brothel.
Into a whorehouse, yeah.
Wow, Catholics sure are an oppressed... Christians sure are an oppressed religious minority in America.
They
are.
Keep on fighting, guys. Keep on fighting.
Especially the white males.
And finally, don't you start with me. And finally, and speak out, thanks to the person/persons who hit the side of my truck on Grant Street on January 18th.
You're welcome.
I have your black bumper and hope to see you soon.
Oh, dear.
Karma has a way of coming around.
Oh, good.
Ooh.
My guess is it has a way of coming around like a punch to the face.
I know. Sometimes speak out becomes like beat down.
Do they not have a front license plate requirement in New York? Because if they do, I would assume if he's got the bumper, he probably has, like, maybe not.
To be fair, the bumper can be attached somewhere. The license plate can be somewhere other than that. So it's a
good song.
Yeah, that's going to do it for Speak Out.
This is a good song. I heard it on the radio this week and was like, oh, whatever happened to this song?
Oh, you somehow went back to 1998?
Well, half this song is about fantastic. 40% of all the playlists on Sacramento radio go back to 1998.
Yeah, 94.7, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can hear Stone Temple Pilots like 5 times a day here if you're driving around on the
this
radio.
This is earlier than 98, isn't it?
It is the land that time forgot. I don't know. I'm just making a joke.
I feel like it's 96 or something.
I just figured that since we're talking State of the Union, it was appropriate to play the President of the United States of America. You know why they sing this song? So you don't have to! Anyway, that's going to wrap up this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Sorry. I decided to end by being a dick. Because it's hump day. What?
Hump day.
Exactly. Anyway, you have a great one. We will see you on Friday with a fresh new show. Bye-bye.
To the country, going to eat a lot of peaches. Moving to